This is CyberPod EU, the European cybersecurity podcast powered by Sockwise.
I think the automation is one of the key success factors in building security operations. When you learn where you can apply automation, then you also learn where your skill is really needed. You can automate your exposure status and your risk factor with your vulnerability management. And that's one key topic that can be automated.
Hello, everyone, and welcome to this new episode of CyberPod EU. Today, Johannes Kresse, the CEO of Securium GmbH, is my guest. It is a pleasure to have you here. Johannes is a SOC expert and has held several interesting roles in the cybersecurity field. With Securium, he develops and optimizes security operations. So we are two birds of a feather when it comes to our jobs, as it seems. Johannes, how are you doing today?
I'm good, thanks. Hope you're doing good as well in this cold winter time.
Yes, it's good to see that finally it is winter in Hungary, at least. And as I hear, it's the same in Germany, is it?
It's the same in Germany. I'm near Leipzig right now, and we have minus 10 degrees Celsius. So that's kind of funny.
Minus 10. Wow. Real winter. Finally. I love it. And when it's we are getting closer and closer to Christmas, so this is the part of the year when it should be winter. So I'm happy with it. Although the heating costs a bit bother me, but we'll take care of that as well. So today we are looking more closely into an absolute trendy topic in our industry, automation. But at first, I would like to hear a bit about you, Johannes. So would you tell some words about you, what you are currently doing, and what are your interests currently, not just professionally, if I may add. So.
That's a good one. So. Yeah, I mean, professionally, I'm obviously working on implementing security operation processes like vulnerability management, right, and incident response processes. And of course, I'm setting up another SOC for a client. So that's what I currently do till the end of the week. And then I go on vacation, long deserved vacation. And I probably don't do that much. What I want to do and what I will do is a bit of sporty activity, because I hadn't had a chance to go to the gym for a while. So that's what I plan to do.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and after Christmas, we will have some job in that field as well, I'm afraid.
Right.
With the family lunches and dinners. Okay, it's good to hear of that. So yes, we are very close to each other. So really, but I could not imagine a better guest to our podcast, to be honest. I mean, we are really in this business we are working. So when we go more into the automation topic, so automation might be just a buzzword, but actually it is a reality. I think it's much more than that. So what do you consider the role of automation in security context nowadays, and what do you call advantages, or what do you count into advantages of automation?
I guess the job of automation is to distract people from their work. No, just kidding. I think the automation is one of the key success factors in building security operations, right? For that, I mean, we will go into detail, but automation is useful where it can be applied, and it's really a nightmare when you think you can apply it and it doesn't work.
Mm-hmm. Okay, so maybe we should find out first together what automation really means, because we had a similar discussion with machine learning, and especially with the artificial intelligence. When at the end, it turns out it's just machine learning, and in most of the cases, a very basic one. So what do you call automation, not just a workflow, if I may ask?
That's actually a good question. I have not looked it up. I have not looked
You don't need to. I'm just curious
I know.
Your opinion. Yeah.
I know, but I have my own definition somehow. So my definition would be that automation is something that you pre-decide. Is that even a word in English? So you can have a workflow, or you can have an event, and then you have like a decision to make. And if you can make a decision before the event has even happened, like within the process tree, then you can automate things. So for instance, if an incident of a certain type pops up in your security operation center or in your security infrastructure, let's say you can try to orchestrate certain activities like contamination, like isolation of a device. Mm-hmm. And if you have the means to do that, why not doing it? So you can apply decisions to an event that hasn't happened so far, but when it happens, you automate every action along the way to, let's say, for this instance, isolate a compromised system.
Okay, thank you.
But for that, let me explain a little bit more. For that, you really have to think about, can I really decide beforehand? And that's where it gets tricky, because some of the things to decide needs to be discussed beforehand, right? So, for instance, when we talk about switching off like 100 laptops or isolate workstations from employees, for instance, someone has to face consequences for that decision if the decision was made on false grounds, right? That is usually the case why people hesitate to implement automation. But maybe I'm going far into detail too quickly here. what's your definition
no
of automation?
No problem with that. Actually, this is really hard to define, and maybe we don't need to, as you also mentioned, because this is not our job. Our job is to use it, utilize it the most efficient and effective way possible. But in my opinion, you have to have some kind of an intelligence in it when you try to call it more than a workflow engine. So yes, which you called a decision. Yes, a decision implies that you have to have information and a rule which you apply to that decision based on information you can collect from potentially from external sources or devices, applications, which definitely the automation tools and solutions do. And when we collect together the advantages, I think you have named some. For example, helping the analysts to take care of the real interesting part of the investigation. What my favorite is to force companies into really thoroughly find out their processes. So I think you also mentioned that they try to do the automation, but then they face the reality. This is not so easy to do that. But can you recall a concrete example? So what was the bottleneck when someone tried to implement?
It's hard for me to come up with something without spilling the beans on a recent incident or something. But what I said before is like what you said right now. So if you want to implement automation, you have to think about all the things that might happen when certain things occur in your day-to-day security operation, right? Mm-hmm. And if you have no process, no incident management process, then you are forced to create one. And if you're forced to create one, you need to really think about what do you want to achieve. Who can make a call? Who can say, I want this to be our base case. I want that to be our standard response. You have to make certain decisions. Again, decisions is one of my favorite words right now. And you also have to somehow think about how can it be that I force everyone to adhere to certain standards when I create them. So all in all, it's saving us time. This is our overall goal, right? We want to save time. We want to make precise decisions. So we need to have a good source of information when we automate things. And that's basically the requirement. So looking forward, the hardest thing to automate security operation is answering certain questions. What do you want to do? Who can make a decision? What is to be prevented? And who's going to be reported on that? So who is the person that needs all the information on the table in case of an emergency, let's say, to make further decisions along the way? Do I need to contact the authorities about that? Mm-hmm. Especially in Germany, that's a huge deal and stuff like that. But maybe I'm now gone from the original answer.
Oh, I don't think so. This is an important aspect. I have another example which I think puts us a bit away from the cybersecurity operations centers thematic. For example, here is a use case when we use automation to distribute vulnerabilities and signature databases of virus detectors, virus scanners. And it is something which is normally not being done by the SOC, but it is very nice when you can automate it, because you might have several different types of virus scanners in your organizations. You might have different databases of which you are working, and then you can use a tool which is centrally used. Another aspect, I think it will be familiar to you as well, is that we are in a very similar situation now in which we were 10, 15, 20, depends on, years ago, when it was ITIL and the service desk systems were finding their places. And that was the same. So the customers needed to clarify what they actually do when the SLAs just popped up. And then we tried to accommodate to them. And then we learned, okay, the time is important. Our efficiency is very important. And there is a shortage, we are just going to talk about that as well. It's getting even more and more interesting.
That's right. That's right. That's actually a good analogy. If you want to implement ITIL, you need to answer basically the same questions. So it feels like the same pain implementing processes in cybersecurity. Yeah. So that's a good analogy.
It's great that you agree. And it seems that it's easier to talk about the difficulties of implementing a SOAR platform than the ease of it. But at the end, just to bring up another example, there was a customer at which we automated a phishing response, and the result was outstanding, was unbelievable. From actually before, it was more than one day to resolve a ticket. It went down to, I don't know, 8 minutes. So that's incredible. That's why we are doing that. And this was a particular case which was really sophisticated. I know that maybe 30 days of pure development or fine tuning work went into this specific IRP, incident response plan. So yes, but then it really pays off, because there is a lot of similar incidents on a daily basis. And
exactly, it's about training. So you can fine tune and train your system, and then get the rules more and more in a direction where you can see the efficiency, mm-hmm. and where you actually can make a breakthrough in time saving. So mm-hmm. you said one day down to 8 minutes. That's actually what you should aiming for. Yeah. Mm-hmm.
I know that you are working with customers wanting to have a SOC, considering preparing for it, etc. What is in the minds currently of a beginner customer, to say so? The CISO who have never had an experience with a SOAR, what are their expectations? What did you find out in this field, if you can?
The expectation of the CISO when it comes
Do they calculate with a SOAR at all, or just a SIEM and or an XDR?
So the funny thing is that no one really thinks in technology. So a CISO for sure knows what a SOAR system is, like a SIEM system is, right? So they know what a technology can do and what it should do. Mm-hmm. But it's not really a thing for the minds of CISOs to say, okay, I want this and that. Right now, and you ask me what they think and what is on their wish list. So I think it's cost saving, which is the same as time saving, which is the same as reducing the impact on my available staff, right? Because we have a shortage in cybersecurity workforce, so to say, and it's really a saving aspect, the SOAR system. Making it efficient is the other aspect. And the last one I would say is reducing false positives. You can do that with a SOAR, and it's something that CISOs want to see when implementing one.
Thank you. It's interesting. And yes, actually, on one hand, it's a good thing that people or experts don't think in technologies. On the other hand, I would be even more happy if I would say that customers want a SOAR because they want to be faster in response. Because, yeah, robots are faster than humans. It's simple as that. And they are, really. And they are more accurate, on the other hand. Of course, they are not so flexible. True.
Yes.
So, but you have just mentioned a topic I wanted to bring up today, and it's about the headline of the week. So actually an article about which I wanted to talk with you, actually. It's skills shortage, which is actually a huge challenge in Europe and in Germany as well, as I already found out, and you mentioned it. And so you say that automation can really solve or at least support the resolution of this issue?
I mean, yes, automation can solve a huge chunk of the problem. There are some certain requirements we talked about already that you need to have to implement automation, like a functioning process to tackle it. And also when you learn where you can apply automation, then you also learn where your skill is really needed. So the skill set that the people that are needed for security are of technical nature. That's true. But also you have a high demand for GRC people that do checks and balances, people that take care of, I would say, awareness and stuff like that. So it's a broad mixture of people in demand, I would say.
Headline of the week.
So I will give you now a short summary of this headline of the week, and then let's react to this together. So maybe you already know that at each episode we have this headline of the week part. And this week we have an article from an IT medium, Silicon, from Germany, and their headline sounds like demand for strategic security consulting is growing strongly. So let me shortly summarize. The article deals with the results of an ISG study on the German cybersecurity market. It shows that German companies want to use their defense resources more efficiently. Therefore, cybersecurity providers need to expand their portfolio from mostly operative skills to more strategic consulting, for instance. Due to skill shortage, the focus in consulting lies more and more on which aspects and tasks can be automated, for example, in terms of prevention, education, and defense measures. Machine learning plays a key role in this context. So, having talked about skill shortage and automation, what is your opinion on the headline of the week, Ioannis?
It's true. It's just true. I mean, if you think about what a company wants that buys security consulting, security operations from another company, then it's most of the time knowledge and efficiency. You want to have something for your money, right? Mm-hmm. So, and what is the lack that you try to fill? What is the gap? The gap is that you do not know where to automate. You do not know what to prevent, and you do not know what the best method of defense is. Mm-hmm. So you need to have someone that tells you all those details. Those are strategic consultants, right? And in the past, security operations providers, they just offered services for MDR, which is managed detection and response. But the detection and the response itself, like mechanically, is not enough. The expectation is to be consulted what can be improved in prevention, in education, and in the defense. So that's a higher demand, I would say, and that's the reason, or one of the reasons, why the demand for security consultants is so high in Germany right now.
this was very clear, I think. And when I, my first first feeling was when I was reading this article that is especially speaks for you, I mean, for your company, because this is the kind of knowledge the companies require nowadays. And we also had to realize it when my company went or stepped on the market, that the knowledge is much more important than I was expecting, actually. But it's clear from your clarification, your current sayings, it's clear why is it like that. And what is a pretty simple additional thought of mine is that people like you or us have done it several times, and for each company which want to create or implement a new organization called Cybersecurity Operations Center will be the first, potentially the second or the third, but the 10th and not the 50th of such. And that's why they cannot collect so much experience. And that's why consultants are much more needed. An engineer potentially can be trained for a specific tool. And maybe on his second project, he can be very effective. But for a consultant, you need much, much longer experience cycle, I guess, to learn what is the difference between theory and the actual practice of a real operation. We were talking about the automation generally and more specifically. What are there specific playbooks or the most interesting actions what you really await when you start an automation project, or are there sweet spots which you would like to pick up?
You mean the areas what can be automated best?
Yeah.
So in my experience, I mean, I need to tell you that, I mean, full disclosure, I do not do automation projects as such, but that's always a part of building a security operations center.
Definitely.
And what you can already say is that there are some areas where it really pays off to look into automation. So one of which is vulnerability management. Mm-hmm. First of all, there is so much to do when it comes to vulnerability management. One of the topics is know your playing field, know your assets. Having a CMDB that tells you your infrastructure, your assets, and its configurations is like key. And most of the companies I know, they don't have that. They have certain measures to know their infrastructure, but it's not complete always. So having that, and its discovery mechanisms automated, that's one key. So when you have all your assets, when you have all your infrastructure in one database, you can actually say, okay, tell me my vulnerabilities. So what is my exposure? What is my risk for those assets to be inside a DMZ, exposed to the internet, or in cloud infrastructure or on-prem even. So you can automate your exposure status and your risk factor with your vulnerability management. And that's one key topic that can be automated for the most part. Another one is, of course, prevention of incidents. For that, you need to find out, of course, what the incident is, but the incident itself has some predetermined factors, right? I don't want to jump into those, but you can really automate incident response in terms of prevention and isolation of certain events. That's that I would say you can automate pretty good.
Mm-hmm. Thank you. Good, great examples.
What is your, maybe I can learn from you a bit. So what would you say, what is one of your favorite topics to automate in a SOC? Yeah.
Actually, I am fighting with the experts team to have a podcast deep in the technology field of the automation. So I would not call myself an expert on the automation, but what I found out was the strategy is pretty straightforward, because it's very complicated, but it is really time consuming. And when we are talking about alert fatigue and keeping our very, very valuable analysts fresh and eager and the willingness of their job, it's very important to get rid of the repeated task. And that's why I like the triaging very much.
That's true. Yeah. So triaging. Yeah. Repetitive tasks can be automated as well. Of course. Yeah.
Collecting information. That's what I don't think to be fully open on that we use it to make our CMDB up to date, but definitely the SOAR would be able to do that. So it makes, yes, the vulnerabilities part as well, but even the assets. But for example, another use case, I think it's just part of many different playbooks. When you start a query on a set of databases, to have it in front of your analyst, so they don't need to log into the external system, start the query, download it, and then at the end look at it. But it's all, because all the parameters are already known, the system can log in and ask for it from another third system. And that's a point which is easy to understand for externals in this business, I think. And I like.
Yeah, I totally agree. I totally agree. For the playbooks, you can automate the hell out of those, right? You can automate pretty much everything that you can predetermine in a playbook. And that should actually be the goal of every security operations team. So for me, it's important to have people sitting, like, I wouldn't say bored, but they are not so much occupied with repetitive tasks that they can really think about what are my known unknowns and improve on something that they don't see right now. That's one of the most critical things that you should look into nowadays, because everything that you know, every piece of IOC and threat intelligence part that can be automated when it comes to incidents, that should be automated, but you should pay attention of your, like I said, known unknowns. That's like, aside from the compliance world, that's what you should do.
Thank you. I was just about to bring it up. I mean, the threat intelligence part, which is, there are platforms in which threat intelligence and SOAR are in the same system. But this is also a very important aspect. Do you have experience how much people take threat intelligence really important? Do customers really use threat intelligence sources?
It's strange. Some companies, they know what they do and they strive for making it. And there are some organizations that do actually not know what they should do or what threat intelligence even is. So there is a huge gap, I would say, in Germany. And yeah, organizations need to pay attention more on threat intelligence, because right now, Even let's say one simple thing, you can determine which IP in the internet is known bad or known good. I mean, a little bit. That's something that you can do. You can have your IOCs in terms of hashes of files ingested by a threat intelligence feed. But to make it really simple, who tells you the most dangerous vulnerability, zero day, or the next big log4j thing out there? Who tells you that? What is your source of information? Most organizations just do not have any clue where to look for. They got sent a message, they got sent an email, hey, have you looked into that? I just read an article in a newspaper, and the vulnerability is already 5 days old. And this is a huge thing right now. And still people do not know how to tackle that, which is mind-boggling, because that's one of the first things you should really look into, how to get the knowledge what's going on outside.
It's worth making a separate episode on threat intelligence.
Yeah, we can.
Yeah, with SOAR, I think what I wanted to bring up is only that the current existing databases, which are already available, could be used to check your current threats, if they are real, and to help clarifying the false positives or clearing out the false positives. That's something marvelous, I think. Yes, I was afraid to say that many customers still don't really understand this phenomenon of having threat intelligence. And then when you asked for examples, I think this is another interesting one, is the lessons learned can also be automatized, at least to have your own threat intelligence platform. It can even be a free software to be used. Collect your IOCs, for example, spearfishing phishing attacks, any kind of attacks attack information, which was already a threat against your own company. And then this is very, very specific, and it's much easier to set up content based on your own IOC. So, and that's something that can be automated.
Right, right. Lessons learned can be automated to a degree where it actually helps. So what security people forget sometimes is a little compliance part that tells them, hey, an incident is over right now. So the incident is, we dealt with that, it's done. What have we learned? So can we implement a preventative measure? Can we implement a detective measure? I mean, the work of brainstorm and actual implementation can not be automated that easily, but a system can poke you and remind you to do that. That's something that I want to have when working with such systems. So something that reminds you, hey, have you really thought about this incident? Can it happen again? Will it happen again? What makes you so sure that it doesn't happen again in the future? So that's something that can at least help you a little bit with, yeah, poking you, reminding you. That would be nice.
That's also a very good example. Okay, Johannes, thank you very much. As we've just mentioned in the beginning, so Christmas is coming. I just had a thought of it's nice that we are going on holidays during Christmas, but I'm afraid the adversaries are not really. what do you expect this season? Will it be worse than the last year, or do you have any expectations regarding that?
I don't can foresee the future that clearly to answer the question, but I would say if there's something up, they wait till the very last minute to make it more fun.
Okay. So yes, I'm afraid the adversarial activity will be a bit heavier than last year. Thank you.
A bit heavier.
Conflicts, yes, I think so.
Because of the multiple.
There is war. There is, yeah, let's say, Cold War in the commercial field. It's a really complicated international situation. And on one hand, on the other hand, when the poverty grows, it also fuels the resources of huge international crime organizations which we face. Which are not really sophisticated, but very effective, because they can reach even the smallest companies. Yeah, these phishing campaigns. People like me, for example, I suffer for that every week. I have an incident, and we have to cover that. So,
yeah, I believe that. Yeah,
and I don't think it will stop in the Christmas time, but maybe even
no, it worse. Won't. It won't. Yeah.
But what I can tell that our SOC is ready and our customers are ready, I guess yours as well. So I'm not afraid of that at all. It's just part of our lives. So I'm still sure that we can be safe during Christmas again. And with that, I would like to thank your participation in this podcast today. I was very satisfied with your thoughts. Thank you very much.
Thank you very much as well. Was nice being here. Was nice being your guest. And yeah, anytime soon again.
Thank you. I think it's worth talking about threat intelligence in a separate episode. And
okay, and, yeah.
Thank you.
Let's do that. Okay.
So to the listeners out there, I hope you enjoyed this episode as much as I did. So remember, you can find detailed show notes at each episode, and make sure to subscribe to CyberReport.eu. And please tune in again next time. Stay secure and Merry Christmas.